And welcome back to another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your three great hosts, Darkness Tiger. You can find me on my Xbox Live or controlling the Twitter channel at the Uninformed Gamers. And I'm here with my brother Chris and my good friend Mason. Mason, go ahead and introduce yourself, my good sir.
Thank you, Devin, for bringing me in. As always, it's Mason here, aka Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review, and I'm really looking forward to today's episode.
Heck yeah.
This is gonna be a phenomenal episode because we have quite a lot of random stuff to talk about. But Chris, go ahead. You want to plug yourself real quick?
Yeah, I'll plug myself. What a weird way to say
That's gonna be my new insult. Go plug yourself.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I'm Cursor Chameleon. You can find me at twitch.tv/iChameleonEye or Twitter at Chameleon Games, and it is always good to be back here on a podcast with my boys.
Always good. Now, as everybody who's listening to our podcast know, and if you haven't listened to it, make sure you listen to it, you like, and you subscribe to it. I'm going to ask the normal questions of what are you guys playing? Mason, let's go ahead and start with you.
Well, I'm gonna be pretty honest here. I haven't been playing a whole lot of video games because the wife and I have been really busy with getting our kitchen remodel all set. It finally got finished, so I'm very excited there. We're just waiting on our countertops, and we spent pretty much Friday, Saturday, and Sunday just trying to get things back in order. So I've just been kind of watching stuff on Netflix while we were, doing the kitchen stuff, trying to catch up on shows in my downtime. So I'm thinking after this coming weekend is when I'll really be able to, do some more gaming. But in terms of the shows, what did I watch? I watched Invincible on Netflix. And that was amazing. Highly recommend watching that to anybody. If you haven't checked out Invincible, that's on Amazon Prime. One of the better American-made animated TV shows that has been released recently. So that was awesome. I also watched Yasuke on Netflix, which is a anime. About 6 episodes long. It stars a black samurai, and it is really cool. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to. What about you guys?
Chris, what's going on in your world? Because the last time you mentioned that you were playing the new Star Wars, not the newest one. I believe the newest one is Star Wars Squadron, but I believe Jedi Fallen Orders. Are you still playing that?
Yes, so I have been playing that when I have time because I'm still in the middle of basically moving. So I've been playing that a little bit. That game is hard as hell, I will say
It is. That's why I wanted to know how's it been going for you?
that. Let me tell you, there's some creature on the first planet, and I'm actually not sure why it's there. He is so busted. It was this like black, big, like thing. I don't know what he is. I can't say his name. It starts with an O. It's like Obo something. We'll call him Obo. Obo is completely busted. This is like,
That's a good name.
I, yeah. Dude, so like, if you die in that game, you lose all the XP you gained.
Oh
And
no.
so, yes, I got killed by Obo, and I was like, okay, maybe he got lucky. So I had to go back, do all the jump puzzles, and get back to him, try again. Nope, he's just strong. I'm like,
Oh.
okay. So I, at some point, said, fuck it, you can have the XP because you're just strictly better than me. And I completed the rest of the planet. I fought a different colored Obo and I whooped him. I was like, what the hell? This one was like so much like easier. And so I was like, well, maybe I just got stronger because I leveled up like 2 times. I was like, maybe it was just because I fought him at level 1. Go back, fight him again. He bopped me again. I was like, all right. So I lost a lot of XP that time. And then I was like, I don't feel comfortable leaving without killing him. Yeah. So I spent the next 30 minutes getting my ass beat, finally killed him, and figured out what was in this room that he was in. There was a chest. Can't open the chest because I don't have the thing on my bot to open it. Oh. So basically, I wasted my time. He was worth a lot of XP, I will say.
Yeah,
that.
But still, like, there was no like reward at the end, which is kind of frustrating.
Oh, it was incredibly frustrating. I was like, so I have to come back and kill him again.
Yeah, it's tantalizing because you see that chest and you can't do anything about it.
Nope. So Oboe is a god at level one. I will tell you that. Like, Jeez. I'm seriously not sure why I ran into him at level one.
He's a god on him, man.
Yeah, I'm assuming that by him being as strong as he was, you weren't supposed to fight him yet.
So, no, people say they have a problem with him even later because, really? Yes, I was on Twitter and just happened to come by the Jedi Fallen Order, like, Twitter page, like the official Twitter page. Mm-hmm. And they put a picture of him and just with a trolley face. I was like, oh, you clowns. I knew it. I was like, this dude's busted. Nice. He's just so fast. So, like, you have to parry him or he just kills you.
Really? That's unfortunate.
Sorry.
So I've been playing that, Sea of Thieves, and I also am getting back into Witcher 3.
Really?
Now, nice. That's always a good game.
I wanted to talk about that because I keep seeing more and more Witcher 3 news about how potentially there could be a chance that the next CD Projekt Red project is going to be a Witcher 3 remaster for the new generation consoles. And Witcher 3, for me, was always that one game where I'm like, I see why people enjoy it, but I do not. I never found Witcher 3 to be fun.
So I find it incredibly fun once you get immersed into it. Like, I beat the whole first area. I did every single thing that you could do. And I'm in the next area. Now, I'm probably not going to do that in the second area because I'm just like, this will take me like years to beat if I try and do this. So it's very immersive once you get immersed. Like, it takes some time to get immersed, but once you're there, you don't want to do anything but play The Witcher.
Yeah, because like when I got The Witcher 3 Complete Edition and I tried playing it, this was a while ago. I think I got it for free or downloaded on something like that. I don't remember. But I tried playing it because I'm a huge fan of like Skyrim and the open world games. And I made it past the first area. And then for some reason, like, I stopped playing it. There wasn't really a specific reason why I stopped playing it, though, because I had a lot of fun. But like, it was hard at first to get immersed, like you said, but once it gets you can't get out because you're just like, yes.
Yeah, it definitely has that like Skyrim feel to it. To
mm-hmm. It really does.
That might be my problem because I always get exactly the exact same place every single time I play it because I want to, like, I'm going to start from the beginning, start fresh, start brand new, go in, head clear, and I get to the exact same part every single time, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. I'm okay with it. I'm done. And it's so sad.
Devin.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, and I think you saw this in our group chat together, but one thing I didn't mention was Chris was very gracious and gave me it was like a 14 or 15 day free trial to the Xbox Game Pass.
Yep, sure did. Welcome to the ecosystem.
So, and I didn't realize the hype of the Game Pass until I explored it. And I have to tell you and the listeners, just like, holy cow, that's so much value.
Well, that's the thing, is that's what Microsoft was going for. Though Microsoft may not be an exclusive powerhouse, and mm-hmm. we'll get to that at the end of the we'll get to that eventually. Mm-hmm. Sony as well as Nintendo has to look at what Game Pass is and come to the realization that Game Pass is the Netflix of gaming.
It really is. And like, what's really cool for me personally is I don't have a Xbox console anymore. I have a PC and I have an Android phone, but I can still play Xbox games on either of those things without having a console, which is amazing.
Yes. Microsoft didn't want to limit you, and I guess that's Microsoft's whole strategy going forward is yeah. it doesn't matter whether you have an Xbox or not. There are more than one way to play.
Yeah, which is super awesome. But other than that, Devin, what are you kind of getting into?
I'm currently in Canada, so there's that. Every time I'm on the podcast, I feel like I'm somewhere else. Yes, very French Canada, by the way. but no, I've been working my way to the medium. I got to a part where I was kind of stuck for a little bit because of a tall douche.
I know what you're talking about.
If you played Medium, you know. Because there's a certain achievement you get, and I'm kind of an achievement whore. And so, like, one of the achievements is you can't let this thing see you. So then, like, the second it spots me, I'm like, screw it, murder me. I don't care. We're starting over. And so I've been playing that. I've been playing a little bit of I went back to Outriders because I just wanted to – I needed, like, to kill 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's no other way to kill 10 minutes than a shooter. And I recently, because I didn't feel like purchasing it, I actually watched Resident Evil Village from start all the way until the credits rolled.
And what was your reaction to it?
I'm glad I didn't buy it.
Really?
Though it seemed like it was a fun game and though I enjoyed the story that it told, I think Resident Evil is just fine. I don't see the major hype. When everybody's like, oh, it's new Resident Evil. To me, it's just okay. But the one saving grace of Resident Evil Village is Lady Dimitrescu, the vampire lady. Every scene she's in, she steals the show. And if she does not get her own spinoff video game, we riot.
Yeah, from the clips that I've seen and just reaction things that I've seen, everybody's just in love with her as a character because she's just very vibrant. She commands the presence. You know, she steals the show, like you said. She's got big tits. You know,
very massive. And there was no, and I'd hate to be the one that says it, but there actually is, as you guys probably are aware, a nude mod for Resident Evil.
Oh, of course. I saw something online where somebody made another mod where it was like they implemented jiggle physics. I was like, what the fuck is this?
They're the worst.
People suck. I'm telling you.
There was one guy, he had like a fly swatter as like his like weapon.
Oh, geez.
He would just run up and just slap her in the back, slap her in the butt with it and just run away.
That was good. So I got two questions before we jump into our topics here.
What's up?
Mason, so when you tried the Game Pass Ultimate on your phone, did you try it with the PlayStation remote? I believe it supports it, right?
I haven't messed around with actually like playing anything yet, but I'm assuming that I'll be able to hook up my PS4 controller.
Yep, I think so as well. Cool. Awesome.
So once I do that, I will let you know. I haven't quite activated the membership yet because I know, you know, once I activate it, I only have a certain amount of time to try, and I'm going to be busy until like after this weekend. Like next week is when I'll start it and then really dive deep into like gaming through it.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then if you really like it, I get deals throughout the year
where
it's on sale and I haven't paid full price for it ever.
Nice.
So I will send those you guys as well when I get those deals. And then, all right, so this is going to be like our first like subtopic before we get to our main topics here. So as we all know, the Apple versus Epic lawsuit is going on.
Yes.
And it's this epic. Is something that came out today from that lawsuit. So Apple is okay with iOS apps that allow access to many games, but only if those games are created by creators and not developed by developers.
Wait, what?
What a douche. Apple, Jesus
that's
Christ.
Petty.
Here's how you could be even more petty. Microsoft and Epic, I don't think Sony's too involved on this. Microsoft and Epic could be just like, but we are content creators. And they start their own like YouTube series.
Dude, I saw that right before we jumped in this podcast, and I was like, I have to hear you guys' reaction to this.
Like, that's scummy. That is scummy. Yeah.
They are so self-absorbed and just like they're just not connected anymore. Like, they don't understand. Since Steve Jobs like passed away and is no longer a like force in the company, they don't get it.
I feel like they don't understand their target demographic anymore.
Well, here's the thing.
They don't.
I don't necessarily know if that's the idea, because I think what Apple has always done for the longest period of time, Apple likes to believe it's a much smaller company than it actually is. It always likes to think, oh, we're getting ready to disrupt the market. No, Apple, you are the market. Mm-hmm. So with them trying to say, well, we only want it for our actual content creators. Apple, come to the realization you are a trillion-dollar company at this point. By you continually playing these little petty games with Microsoft, who is another trillion-dollar company, and Epic, who is a multi-billion-dollar company, it's not right. It does not look good, and it's cheap.
Yeah, I thought you guys would get a kick out of that.
I think it's bullshit. I hate that.
Go ahead and bring us into our first topic, real topic.
So our first topic is this week there's been one game that has been dominating the circuits better than anything else. Here's the kicker, though. This is not a new IP. It is actually a remake of a very popular game, or remake, remaster, however you want to say it. But it is the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And I will tell you guys, as a Mass Effect stan, when I first heard this was announced, I was disappointed.
Well, damn.
I know. The reason I was disappointed is because when I played the first three Mass Effects within a month of them all coming out, and I played the final Mass Effect, which is Mass Effect Andromeda, I believe I started playing it a year or 2 years ago, and I finished a year or 2 years ago. And so that magic is only something, especially with the first three Mass Effects with Commander Shepard, that magic is something that once you've done it once, I can't picture coming back and getting that same magic behind it. So with Mass Effect Andromeda being the flop that it was, even though I will say, if you go back to it now, it's not the most fun Mass Effect, but I think it's a decent Mass Effect. But I just didn't believe that they needed to remake this, considering the games were not that old. I didn't feel like I didn't see the point. But I'm glad I've been proven wrong, because they're saying this new Mass Effect is for a new generation, and this is the one you should play. This is the one you should buy. But you guys have never, or Chris, you've never played Mass Effect, and no. Mason, you have played Mass Effect.
Yes, I've played a little bit of Mass Effect. I've never actually beaten 1, 2, or 3, but I've played them.
So don't you both think that this is the time? Actually, I'm going to tell you. This is the time where I think it's time to hop into Mass Effect.
I agree.
I would agree. I would definitely agree.
Once I clear out the backlog, because I've just been working through games that I've been meaning to play. Anything that's downloaded on my console, I'm trying not to download any new games. And just work through that backlog, get through those games. Once I'm done with that, which I hope to be done this year, because I don't have that many left to do, Mass Effect is on my list. So I will be going to it. So probably by the time I get to it, it'll probably have a sale or something on it, and I'll grab it then.
Now, why didn't you two get into Mass Effect when it originally came out? Because when it originally came out, it was the first Mass Effect was a brand new IP. It was a fantastic game. It actually blew people out the water, and Mass Effect 2 only raised the stakes even more.
I won't lie. I had an obsession. I was just playing Gears of War back then.
Ah, this guy.
And I was just kind of busy playing like other games, to be honest.
But that it's so weird to think that these games, which one person considered to be these like massive industry changing games. I don't know if you could, you could probably make the argument that Mass Effect was industry changing.
For sure.
I would say it was industry changing in the whole like choice system that they implemented. One of the things that I love about Mass Effect is its attention to detail and like how your decisions monumentally impact the game state. Like you could have a dialogue conversation with a character, and then based on an option you choose, it can change, you know, future events and change them quite drastically.
Yeah, so those are things that we would see like from a Bethesda-like game where you can like, make choices and determine something. But this is coming from Electronic Arts and developed by BioWare, both massive companies that both of you are fully aware on what they make and what they do. But the key thing about Mass Effect specifically was that not only would the game like change, or like not only would the choices change your game, it could also affect your game two games down the line.
Yes.
So, like, the choice you make in Mass Effect 1 could have negative consequences for the choice you have to make in Mass Effect 3.
And that is actually crazy.
And that's why you could say it was revolutionary. Though one of the BioWare's most recent video games being Anthem, you see it didn't go as far as they thought. But you'll recognize BioWare from the Dragon Age video games.
Never played any of the Dragon Age games, actually.
I played the first one, and I thought it was fine, but I was more of a Skyrim person.
Yeah.
I started playing them right around the same time, and I think my Dragon Age was actually a little bit older. And when I played Skyrim and I went to Dragon Age, I'm like, too different. And I just stayed with Skyrim.
Yeah.
But no, I think that if the opportunity arises, because I've been able to get a lot of EA games for free.
Yes.
If the opportunity arises, I am going to get this first chance I get. If not, I'll see about actually buying it. Because I do, though I don't think the magic is going to be found a second time, I think this is a game people should buy and should play.
Definitely. Yeah. Especially in terms of value, it's a steal.
And if you get it on Game Pass, it's even a bigger steal.
Mm-hmm.
So something about that. So if you have Game Pass Ultimate and you purchase Mass Effect, I believe because Game Pass Ultimate includes the EA Play subscription, you actually get a discount on Mass Effect.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
How much is the discount?
I think it was like $10.
Hey, discount. Oh, that's pretty
good. Yeah. I believe I was looking at that because I was like, I wonder how much it is because I saw it was like 60, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was like 59 or something close to that. It was like $10 or $12.
Yeah,
oh, okay. That's more money in your pocket.
Exactly.
To be paying for that that pipeline gas.
Yeah.
But real quick question for both of you. What TV streaming apps do you currently have, and what is a TV streaming app you would probably drop?
I have Netflix, Hulu, Verve.
What the hell is Verve?
It's the one
anime.
Oh, okay.
I have the Apple TV subscription through family sharing. And Prime Video. That's it right now.
So what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have 4 or 5. Mason, how many TV streaming services do you have? And which one would you be willing to drop?
I think I have roughly the same. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, HBO Max. Let's see. Crunchyroll/Verve, And I think that's it. Oh, yeah, and the Amazon Prime, so six. But the one that I would drop definitely would probably be Hulu because of the commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty annoying.
But my wife pays for Hulu, so it's like, eh?
Yeah. And I would drop the Apple TV one.
So, like, and another thing, too, is, like, I don't pay for HBO Max. I borrow it from my uncle, and he borrows my Netflix, so.
That works out really well.
So, yeah. It's like, a majority of my streaming services, like, I pay for Netflix, we pay for Hulu, and we pay for Crunchyroll/Verve. So, in total, we probably pay around between $30 to $40 a month for, like, streaming services.
Well, that's still cheaper than actual cable, right?
Oh yeah, I haven't had cable in 10+ years, probably.
As an adult, I've never had cable.
Yeah, but I don't get the allure of it. Like my dad always is just like, Mason, why don't you have cable? When I come over, we can't watch sports. I'm like, what are you talking about? We can watch sports on these streaming apps.
Exactly.
Like they're exactly. Live. I mean, there's no reason to have cable, in my opinion.
So apparently, I was just looking this up. There are a total, if you are in the state, or if you're in the United States, there is more than 20+ streaming services that you can sign up for and pay a monthly subscription to. Mm-hmm. And as Chris and I and Mason were discussing, there are some streaming services that are worth less than others. Yeah. I just talking about the TV streaming service. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and HBO Max. Those are my five because I'm like, I think that this, if it's not going to be on one of these, I don't need it.
Yeah.
Well, one major thing transpired that is potentially going to create a media behemoth in which we might be adding a new streaming service very soon. So about 3 years ago, AT&T, the cell phone company, spent $85 billion to acquire Time Warner.
Hot damn. Yeah.
Yes, AT&T apparently had plenty of money to blow, and boy, did they blow it on Time Warner.
Jeez, well, you ain't kidding.
As of 2021, AT&T has sold off their share of Time Warner for $47 billion. So they took a major L this year. They took a major L.
I can't even like fathom that amount of money.
Me neither.
You know?
So, yeah, so there's a right to just imagine if you lost $40 billion and got to keep your job.
I just can't picture it.
That's failing up if I've ever heard it. Well, Time Warner is not just going away. It's not just disappearing into the ether. Warner Media, as it's known, and Discovery Channel are combining to create just one massive conglomeration. And I don't know how I feel about it. Now, do you guys know what Warner Media actually owns? Like why Warner Media sounds familiar?
I know they own a lot of stuff. They do. I wouldn't be able to tell you like everything off the top of my head. I know they own HBO.
They do.
Animal Planet.
Yeah. That's their subsidiary. They own Crunchyroll. I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
DC, I believe. That sounds right.
Let's see. What else? I think they own the CW, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, here's just the top things that Warner Media owns. They own, obviously, HBO,
mm-hmm.
which is they own HBO. They own HBO Max. They own Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
CNN. And quite a few other cable networks. Discovery Channel owns the HGTV, the Food Network, Animal Planet, and Oprah Winfrey's own channel, creating one of the largest media companies in the United States. Now, yeah. These two companies are going to be merging into one big one. I feel like there's laws against this.
Yes, there is. I mean, there's
a monopoly.
it is a monopoly, but they're going to argue that it's not a monopoly because there's so many, like, quote unquote conglomerates that exist within the United States, but yet they're allowed to function anyways.
Apple.
Apple and Microsoft are case in point.
So the conglomerate formed by this merger will be bigger than Netflix or NBC Universal, but still smaller than Walt Disney, making it the second largest media company in the United States per the New York Times.
Hmm. Disney is absolutely insane. I still can't believe it just is still just bigger. They
buy stuff up every year.
It's crazy, man.
At the end of the world, there's only going to be two companies left. It's going to be Disney and Amazon.
Basically.
I'm waiting for the mouse to, you know, be our new overlord.
Yeah, as they're sending us into the rice fields.
Yeah.
The mouse is just standing up there laughing his ass off.
So,
pick those ones.
So to touch on this a little bit. So, like, there's a lot going into this, and I hope that they do something for the consumer. Like, I know this is a greedy company. Like, Time Warner and AT&T are greedy as hell. But, like, if they, like, did something with, like a big subscription and I get all of that, like, so, like, if it's not, like, killer, like, I would consider subscribing to it because it actually has – they have some really good networks in there.
Yeah.
They do. HBO Max is paid for itself even though I don't pay for it.
Right. So, like, I hope – it's like my hope with the Crunchyroll, Verve, and Sony merge. I hope that they figure out a way to, like, bundle these together and I'm able to stream them because, like, I'm seeing DC on this list, mm-hmm. Adult Swim, HBO Max.
Cartoon Network.
This is good stuff. Like, Cinemax has some good stuff on there, too. Like, some good movies.
At what price point do you think at what price point would they have to make it for you to say, I don't need this?
I would say, like $25.
Yeah, $25,
$30. Oof, man, you guys have a much higher thing than I do. I'm like $10, I'm out.
Really? For all those networks? Yeah, I would say 20 I would pay for.
Yeah, 20, like $19.99 a month is what I would be willing to pay if it consolidated a bunch of different streaming services that I already use, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because if HBO Max were to, like, merge with, like, Discovery, okay, that's fine. I'll be paying for that. I don't pay for HBO Max currently.
Yeah.
If that were to merge with something else, okay, because HBO Max has definitely been a lot better than I anticipated. Having the Mortal Kombat movie, the King Kong movies, King Kong versus Godzilla, and also having a lot of films go directly to HBO Max day of has been huge for me. And to kind of see, like, this could be a bigger thing with, like, news and Discovery mm-hmm. Channel. Maybe I'd be willing to pay some more, or maybe I'd be willing to find a new friend who works for HBO or Discovery and ask me if I can
hook me up.
Hook a brother up. But while we're hooking brothers up with their streaming services, recently it was announced that Bill Gates is going to be stepping down from the Microsoft head. And he's kind of been not really involved with Microsoft for a very long time. And he kind of just, like, walked away from the company. We all assumed it was for him to go ahead and focus on the Melinda Gates and Bill Gates Foundation. We assumed that, but that might not have been the most entirely true thing.
Yes. So, while it did involve him and Melinda, it wasn't, you know, a philanthropic effort.
It was him, Melinda, LaShawn, Don, Carrie, and Jan. He was a hound dog.
Yeah.
Oof. Did we see what?
Did you guys see Bill Gates, the Bill Gates, being a hound dog?
No.
Honestly, looking at him in the face, no way.
Yeah, like he does not give off that vibe. But I'm also, like, not surprised at the same time.
Same.
No, it's the power thing. Like all these guys who it's have power.
It's the prestige.
Mm-hmm.
But but at the end of the day, you're literally like, I'm Bill Gates. I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
But he can because he's Bill Gates.
Yeah. Apparently he can't because he's.
Do you think that the Bill Gates divorce is going to cost as much, more, or less than the Jeff Bezos divorce?
Jeff Bezos could have gotten himself entirely screwed. He's so lucky he married a woman who was just like, I don't need your money. I'm fine.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that since Bill Gates, keep in mind, here's the story of what happened. Bill Gates actually cheated 20 yep. years ago. Microsoft conducted a probe into the co-founder Bill Gates' involvement with an employee almost 20 years ago after it was told in 2019 that he had tried to start a romantic relationship with the person, the company said on Monday. So apparently Bill has been cheating. He had an arrangement with an ex-girlfriend. Yes, he had an arrangement with an ex-girlfriend where he could visit her one weekend out of the year, and the wife knew about it.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God.
We got to get Maury up in here.
Yes, this is about to be something. Gates and his wife, Melinda, filed for divorce early this month after 27 years of marriage.
Such a long time.
I think for this one, I think that Melinda Gates is going to get quite a lot more money mm-hmm. because you cheated on her for 20 years. That's not cool, man.
No, that's pretty scummy, honestly.
Yeah, so I think that Bill Gates is going to no longer be even in the top five richest people, but his wife might get there, or his ex-wife might get there.
And, you know, it really – I got to give props to Melinda, honestly, for sticking with him in this partnership for so long due to his, you know, toxic behavior because, honestly, she should have left him a while ago.
It makes me wonder if she also had someone else. Mm-hmm. If she was okay with him having, so I'm curious.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm intrigued.
Whatchamacallit, Chris? I sent Ma this story, and then she was just like, "Well, hell, for the amount of money she was paying her, you pay me half, and I would have been a side piece."
Oh, mother!
So I don't know whether his Melinda had a side piece or whatever, but I do know this. You guys are multi billionaires. At one point, you were the richest person on the planet by far and by a way. This is going to be an expensive divorce. There's no ands or buts about it. Jeff Bezos, I don't know how Jeff Bezos got off so light. I'm also not even sure why they divorced. This is going to be much more messy. But let's change pace. Let's no longer talk about Bill Gates and his proclivities. I want to talk about another actor who some of you guys might recognize from when you were younger, from your younger side, when you used to watch sports, not the real sports, but the ones that made you feel good inside, like WWE, SmackDown versus Raw. And one of the wrestlers there who was a world heavyweight champion did everything, left the WWE to pursue roles in acting. You recognize this person from their roles in Skyfall, from Stupor, from I think the biggest ones being Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And that actor / wrestler is Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think he's a good actor?
Do we what?
Do you guys think he's a good actor?
He's a decent action actor.
Correct. I agree.
I would say that. I wouldn't say he's a good actor. Like,
would you say The Rock is a good actor? Or is he a good action actor?
I would say The Rock is a good actor.
Me as well.
Really? What was a non-action movie role that The Rock did that you were just like, gotta have him?
Moana. yeah.
Where he was just a voiceover.
It's still acting. I mean, voice acting is hard.
Voice acting is hard, but come in for 2 days and go ahead and read these scripts.
Shut up. It is not like that.
Go ahead and sing these songs as best as you possibly can.
I want to see you do it, Devin.
Seriously.
Give me a call Moana 2. I'll do the Moana 2 part. Give me the Rock money.
I think he's like the highest paid actor in Hollywood, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think for like the last 2 years running, he brought in like $67 million.
Oh yeah.
Because he was doing those Fast and Furious movies. He was Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
He's always, what was the Jumanji movies?
Yeah, Jumanji.
Yeah, so he was up there with Kevin Hart. But going back to Dave Bautista, the reason we're talking about this is that many people don't know, but the next Guardians of the Galaxy is expected to be Dave Bautista's last role as what is his character? Drax, that's it. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going to be Dave Bautista's last role as Drax. They've kind of talked about it. They've mentioned it. And it's time for Dave Bautista to start looking on for the next big thing. So he recently just signed up for the Knives Out 2 sequel, which is also going to star Daniel Craig, another person from the James Bond film. But Dave Bautista has apparently been more desired than we thought, because they recently set him up to have a meeting about him playing a Fast and Furious character. Keep in mind, Dave Bautista is not in any of the Fast and Furiouses, so we don't know the exact specifics about that. And here's why. Because during the Dave Bautista Fast and Furious meeting with the higher ups and executives, he did not wish to talk about Fast and Furious at all. Dave Bautista wanted to wonder why, and could he do the Gears of War movie starring as Marcus Fenix? I actually would be perfectly fine with Dave Bautista being Marcus Fenix.
So,
I mean, I would as well. I mean, I think he could definitely pull it off.
I think he most certainly could pull that off.
So he actually is in the newest Gears of War game. He is a Marcus Fenix variant.
Oh yeah,
they did finally put him in the game as Marcus Fenix. So it is fitting for him to be Marcus Fenix.
Yes.
Chris, how do you feel about this? Because your game in the day was Gears of War. You played it more than both Mason and myself combined.
It was definitely my game of choice. The Gears 1 through, I would say, 4. I put a lot of hours in. I would love to see him as Marcus Fenix. I think he fits the role. I think the voice actually is quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who voice acts Marcus Fenix, but... The voice is actually similar.
The guy who voices Marcus Fenix looks exactly the way he sounds.
Yes.
Just Google that, and then like you'll be like, yeah, this guy looks like him. Whatchamacallit. But do you think that Gears of War would make a good movie? Do you think people would actually go to the theater and watch it?
Because I would.
I'd do it
too, but we're nerds.
As long as it's done well, I mean, and that's a hard, order to place, because in the Hollywood experience, you know, video game live action adaptations are not successful. They're just not.
No, generally, Tomb Raider has found a little bit of success. Mortal Kombat has found some success.
And then Sonic
has found some success. And you can make the argument for Pokemon Go too.
Detective Pikachu, but...
No, not the Pokemon Go. Yeah, Detective Pikachu, sorry. But no, video games are generally not well-received when it comes to film. And I think that Gears of War, if you try to make it exactly the way the video games are, I think you're going to fall flat.
Yes.
Because what
you
makes,
will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what makes war movies kind of like... legendary isn't like the action. It's how they make you feel. You can look at Saving Private Ryan. You can look at The Hurt Locker. You can look at 1917. It's not the explosive moment. It's the quiet ones. It's the ones where it's just like, we don't know what's going to happen. And there's in Gears of War, there was a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of doubts. There's like an unstoppable force. So I feel like if they focus and try to tell more of that story about how impossible these odds are, but how Marcus Fenix seems to be the only guy who's willing to go head on, maybe you might have a better success. I do not know.
It's kind of
so. One quick thing. So you got to keep in mind there are Gears of War books.
Yeah.
I have not read them. I have never. heard anyone say you don't read. They have read them. Oh, absolutely not. I'm a very visual person. So it's possible those books are pretty good and it could be easily adaptable to a movie. But all we know right now, like, I've heard there's a screenplay for Gears of War, but I don't know if they're going to ever do like a full-fledged movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like that with like the talks of the live-action Halo movie. The voice actor who does the Chief's voice in the games is not going to be a part of that project. And, you know, a lot of different gaming news sites interviewed him saying, oh, well, aren't you mad about that? You're an iconic voice to the character. And he's just like, listen, if they want me to be the voice of the Chief again, I'll do it. But if they don't approach me, then I'm not going to fight, you know? And it's like, I don't fault him for that. It's just a lot of times fans put an idea in their head that, hey, this is how it needs to be. No questions asked, no argument. So it's like,
I fully get that, but with Master Chief, it's a little bit different because Master Chief's face you never saw, but the voice is literally pop culture iconic. I'm actually surprised that they didn't do more of that. But as you did mention, there's no reason to try to pigeonhole the actor who's because I believe they did choose an actor who's going to be the new Master Chief. There's no reason to pigeonhole him into these exact specifics of, this is what you need to sound like. This is how you have to do it. At some point, you kind of got to take ownership of the character and make it what it's going to be.
Yeah. Right.
Nobody saw when Ben Affleck became Batman. People are like, oh, no, you can never be Batman. Right. When Ryan Reynolds became Deadpool, oh, no, you can never become Deadpool. You have to make it your own. And if they do ever release the Halo movie, and believe me, I'll probably be retired by then, or if they release the Gears of War movie, whoever gets those roles, make it your own. Do not listen to the fan base, and you will find much more success.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. One quick thing. I thought I had heard that there was a Gears of War movie in development, but I wasn't sure. So I Googled it real quick while we were talking here. So there is actually a film that's being collaborated between Microsoft and Universal.
Oh, wow.
And in 2008, I don't know if anyone knows him, Scott Frazier is writing the film.
Really?
2018, I'm sorry, not 2008.
I love
2019, there was a, in like an exclusive interview with Rod Ferguson, he revealed that the film is set in an alternate reality apart from the game's canon. So it's going to be Microsoft and Universal working together. I remember Dave Bautista, he approached Rod Ferguson and asked him if he could be Marcus on it, but Rod doesn't have any like view in at the time. Rod's not with the company anymore, but at that time Rod has no selection over what goes into the film or what doesn't, because it's being written by someone totally different, not canon. So it is out there. It is a thing. So just something to keep in mind on and keep a lookout for. It could come at some point.
But did you guys also know that Dave Bautista, he has not only done, he's actually done this more than once. He barged into, obviously, to the room and asked if he could play Marcus Fenix. But do you know what other character he wanted to play that he did the exact same thing for?
Lobo.
No, Chris.
He did. He wanted to be Lobo.
Well,
he did the same thing.
Watch what call it. He did the same thing for Bane, too.
Oh, really?
He was just like, I will be the next Bane. Just call me when you're ready.
And they did not do that.
they did not, Tom Hardy. But if they go back to the Snyderverse, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But
for sure.
There is kind of something close to my heart that I would like to talk about, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
So for the last 15 years, I have been watching a CW TV show called Supernatural. Very massive show. Any show that makes it 15 years 15 seasons with 20 episodes per season, an hour long each episode, give or take. It was a long time running for me. And I started it literally, I was at home on the floor watching the very first premiere episode. And I've been watching religiously up until the final finale. But because life gets in the way, I never got an opportunity to actually finish, watch the series finale. And so I finally had some free time where I was like, you know what? Let me do some edibles. Let me kick back. Let me relax. Let me finish up these last three episodes. So I put on the last three episodes, and I have to say, and I am man enough to admit this, when that final episode came through, I actually started crying.
Aw.
Damn.
Right? I actually had tears down my eyes. Not because it was the best episode ever, no. But I guess for me, it was just kind of a culmination of a lot of different things, considering I grew up with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But to see like a show that I'll no longer have a new episode for, to see characters who I'll never see again, to the realization of we're all older now, we have to move on to our next phase of life. So I'm literally watching this right before I go into Canada for the very first time and continue working. And I won't give you any spoilers because mm-hmm. I thought the ending was done very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely, though Supernatural has to deal with a lot of like different subjects of like vampires, zombies, yeah. things like this, it also does delve into the religious aspect a little bit
with the
demons and angels and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the very last episode was one of those times where I'm like, okay, no matter how many times I've talked to pastors, no matter how many mega churches I go to, no matter what book I read or this, that, or the other thing, or what I research, it was this last episode that actually gave me some kind of hope for an afterlife.
Huh.
Damn. That's deep.
Right?
That's deep.
That's really deep, actually.
You're making me want to watch it.
Isn't I know.
Like, I have to. It's on my list to rewatch. Like,
it's on your backlog.
Except for skip the stupid ass like.
Skip season 7.
Yeah, whatever the. What were they called?
Leviathan. Oh,
Leviathan season. That's that season was complete garbage.
That's when I stopped watching.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad.
Leviathan was the worst one, and then it starts steadily picking up all the way from there.
Yeah.
It starts falling off in like I want to say season 13, but then like once you get midway through season 13, it starts picking back up all the way to the end. Again, it wasn't the best finale I've ever seen, but it was the only one that ever made me cry.
Yeah. Damn. So I got a question before I segue into our next topic for you, Devin.
Yeah.
Jared Padalecki or Jensen Ackles, which do you like better?
Oh, now that is a hard question. Because Jensen Ackles, I believe he's actually now on The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big fan of Jensen Ackles. I just wish I would see more of them. But I do like Jared Padalecki. But who would if I could hang out with anyone, it would probably be Jensen Ackles.
One of them. Who would you pick?
It would be Jensen.
Jensen for me too. Yeah. He's fucking funny.
Yeah,
I wish Jensen and Jared would do more.
And like Jensen, he's really into beer too. Like he has his own brewery, and he just seems like a really cool dude to just kind of hang out, sit down, have a couple beers with, and just bullshit, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. 100%.
Did you know that in Jensen's contract for Supernatural, when the series actually ended, it was in his contract for him to keep the car?
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yes, he got
so the dope.
Impala after 15 years.
That car is so dope. I've wanted that car because of the show.
Right?
Yeah, it's a nice freaking car.
It's a. I believe it's a 1967 Chevy Impala four-door.
Yeah, beautiful.
Chris, here's a random fun fact for you. The license plate, do you know which state the license plate is from?
Ohio.
Yep, it's an Ohio license plate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, all right, let's move. Sorry, guys. That was a derail.
No, but you're fine. There is Devin, you got to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart, and I would like this opportunity to talk briefly about something that's kind of near and dear to mine.
Go for it.
So, as you guys know, and as well as the listeners know at this point, I am into trading card games pretty heavily, and have been into trading card games for a long, long time. I first started playing like trading card games back in like 97, 98 range when the Pokemon trading card game first came out. My wife still has her original cards. I still have my original cards, but they're not in the best shape because, you're a kid. You're not going to, take care of your cards too well. you're going to play with them. And over the years, I've played competitively with trading cards, whether it be with Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, and now most recently the Digimon trading card game. I love the competitive scene. I love collecting, and it's just a hobby that I've enjoyed for almost my entire life. And recently, people have been acting pretty scummy when it comes to the trading card game hobby, particularly with Pokemon. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this or if our listeners are aware of this, but most recently, Target and Walmart have stopped selling a majority of trading card products, such as Pokemon, such as MLB, NFL, NBA, and other trading cards. And do you guys want to know why?
No.
So
I have no idea why.
So here's why. And it's a big myriad of reasons. I'll just list the few and then end with the biggest reason why. So due to certain, social media influencers and like YouTubers, they've really skyrocketed the popularity of Pokemon. This can be attributed to Logan Paul, actually, where he purchased like original like base set sealed cards for an exorbitant amount of money and like opened them on stream, and he then resold these cards for an exorbitant amount of money. We're talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, and it really got more and more people interested in Pokemon as a hobby. But a lot of nefarious people kind of entered the fray. They were getting into the hobby to flip cards. They would go to the Targets, the Walmarts, the Myers, the big box stores, purchase these cards for MSRP, and then go online and resell these cards for double, sometimes triple, for what they paid and make a decent profit. And so what ended up happening is a bunch of people just started mass buying product, whether it be Pokemon, MLB, sporting cards. They would go to these stores and just shovel these products into their shopping cart and just hoard purchase, not leaving any product left for anybody. And it got so bad that these stores had to limit customers. First, it was, limit 3 per customer per visit. Then that didn't work. So they're just like, okay, well, limit 1 per customer per visit. That didn't work. Then they limited customers. Okay, well, we'll limit 1 per customer, and we're only going to sell them on Friday at 3 p.m. So good luck. That didn't work.
Wow.
Then people were just like, okay, well, what if I start camping out at these outside of the stores? So people started fucking camping out in fucking tents and shit at Targets, at Walmarts. Then people started stalking the vendors for the cards on their routes. They would follow them in their vehicle and just leave their car when the vendor came out of their truck with the product, and then just wait till they're done stocking and then just buy everything up and then just rinse and repeat that process. And then there was also reports of people placing trackers on these vendor vehicles, which is highly illegal. And
trackers?
Then, yeah, like the digital, wow. That actually, like, they're GPS trackers. They put them underneath the car. Of the truck. Yeah.
Yeah.
These dudes are part of the CIA. What's going on here?
Yeah, like, it's crazy, dude. And then that's not even the worst of it. Like, that is not even the worst of it, guys. Like, it got so bad that people were, like, fucking fist fighting over these cards. And in the state of Wisconsin, it got so bad that somebody actually pulled a gun and threatened another patron over fucking cardboard.
Could you imagine pulling out a gun on someone to get a pack of trading cards, and it was every card that you didn't want in that pack you pulled a gun out on someone for?
That, I mean, that's karma.
That is something. Wow. Yeah,
the whole trading card game scene has been turned upside down. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life in terms of, like, the fervor and the uproar and just the pure amount of greed that these people are exhibiting. Like, they're in a sense, like, stealing from children in a way, because a lot of these card games are targeted towards, you know, kids that are 6 years old and up. And it's like, oh my God.
See, I was reading a little bit about this, but I was not necessarily reading as to why it was happening, but I was reading about, like, what do they do once they have those cards in hand? So I did not know that some people are so very into this, they will actually weigh each card set before they buy it.
Yeah, so some people actually bring that in, like, you know those, like, weed scales?
Yeah, I'm about to use one too.
Like, people bring – I've seen people do this, and I've, you know, read people do this. They bring that, like, little scale to the store. They weigh the packs because it is known in the community that if a pack is quote-unquote heavy, it has a higher odds of containing a rare or holographic card. So that's why they do it.
Now, as a people, we got to come to the realization all this is very unsustainable. But I will say, I saw a lot of people were upset that they were taking them out of the store. Yes. And I'm like, if you guys are mobbing the store, making the employees' days a little bit harder, y'all are going to get an online only. And now that it's online only, you can shop until your heart's content.
Yep.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because
it is.
Since I've been around, like, those cards have always been in stores. Like, you can always find them at, like, they're like right there by the registers. They're always, they were always stocked, clean, looked good. So, like, it's unfortunate that it became that.
Yeah, I do hope that it does settle down, and I think it will. It's just going to take some time before the hype, you know, kind of dies down. But right now, it's just not looking good for the trading card games, honestly.
Do you think that this is going to be the new norm going forward now that influencers have discovered trading cards? Do you think that we're going to eventually create a whole new list of influencers who are only trading card enthusiasts?
Well, those have always existed, honestly, but like
they have, but not at the level of Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Right, yes, you're right. I don't think that anyone is really going to get out there like that. Like, I don't know. I can't see it.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but like you have people that aren't like YouTube personalities or social media personalities spending exorbitant amounts of money and like buying these cards up. Like, for instance, the rapper Logic spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on one card.
Of course he did.
You know, we start just taxing the rich. Forget it. Just we failed. Just tax them all.
Yep.
Was it a holographic Charizard?
Yeah, it was a holographic first edition Charizard.
Of course it was. Yeah, but I don't know. this whole thing just seems weird because housing is ridiculous, cars are ridiculous, now trading cards are ridiculous. At what point do we realize that this is unsustainable and we can't keep going at this rate?
I don't think people as a whole will realize it, because at our core, a vast majority of people are, greedy.
Toxic and greedy. Yes, absolutely.
And I hate to say it.
Considering Chris will be out of his house soon.
I hate to be negative, but, it is what it is.
It is.
Yeah, for sure.
But, it is literally what it is.
But we're actually running over our time by 5 minutes.
Yeah. Let's cut it, boys.
All right, Chris, go ahead and send this out.
I'm Chameleon or Chris. You can find me at twitch.tv/IKAMELIONI. I will be restarting my stream next week, actually. I will be moved and I will be good to go again.
Nice.
And then until then, you can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games all together.
All right, Mason.
And then Mason here, aka Rad Dreams. You can always find me on my YouTube channel, Rad Dreams Review. And you can also find me on Twitter at Mason Claisel. You can find me on Twitch as well, Rad_Dreams. Hopefully I'll be able to do some more gaming next week. So we'll see what happens.
And I am your host, or one of them at least, Darkness Tigers. You can find me on the Xbox. You can also find me on the top of every leaderboard when it comes to a racing game. I am doing a fantastic job because I am quicker, faster, and better than you. Anywho, feel free to send us a tweet or a follow at our Twitter page at the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. And also, if you're listening to us, make sure you share us with your friends. And if you haven't already done so, please like and subscribe. That's how we're able to do this, and we enjoy doing this. We'd enjoy it even more if more people listen, like you, viewers just like you. All right, guys, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Later.